"It'll be a dog," it said. "You don't know it's going to be a dog. No one said it's going to be a dog. How do you know it's going to be a dog if no one said? Your dad'll be complaining about the food it eats the whole time." "Privet." This third voice was rather more prim than the first two. The owner of a voice like that would be the sort of person who, before making a plastic model kit, would not only separate and count all the parts before commencing, as per the instructions, but also paint the bits that needed painting first and leave them to dry properly prior to construction. All that separated this voice from chartered accountancy was a matter of time. "They don't eat privet, Wensley. You never saw a dog eating privet. They're stick insects, do I mean? They're jolly interesting, actually. They eat each other when they're mating." There was a thoughtful pause. The hound slunk closer and realised that the voices were coming from a hole in the ground. The trees, in fact, concealed an ancient chalk quarry, now half overgrown with thorn trees and vines. Ancient, but clearly not disused, tracks crisscrossed it. Smooth areas of slope indicated regular use by skateboards and wall of death, or at least wall of seriously grazed knee, cyclists. Old bits of dangerously frayed rope hung from some of the more accessible branches. Here and there, sheets of corrugated iron and old wooden boards were wedged in branches. A burnt-out, rusting Triumph Herald estate was visible, half-submerged in a drift of nettles. In one corner, a tangle of wheels and corroded wire marked the site of the famous Lost Graveyard, where the supermarket trolleys came to die. If you were a child, it was paradise. The local adults called it the Pit. The hound peered through a clump of nettles and spotted four figures sitting in the centre of the quarry on that indispensable prop to good secret dens everywhere, the common milk crate.
"They don't."
"They do.
Bet you they don't," said the first speaker. It had a certain timbre to it that identified it as young and female, and it was tinted with horrified fascination. "They do, actually. I had six before we went on holiday, and I forgot to change the privet. When I came back, I had one big fat one."
"Nah, that's not stick insects. That's praying mantises. I saw on television where this big female one ate this other one, and it didn't take any notice."
There was another crowded pause.
"What are they praying about?" said his master's voice.
"Dunno. Praying they don't have to get married, I expect."
The hound managed to get one huge eye against an empty knothole in the quarry's broken-down fence and squinted downward.
"Anyway, it's like with bikes," said the first speaker authoritatively. "I thought I was going to get this bike with seven gears and one of them razor blade saddles and purple paint and everything, and they gave me this light blue one with a basket. A girl's bike."
"Well, you're a girl," said one of the others.
"That's sexism, that is, going around giving people girly presents just because they're a girl."
"I'm going to get a dog," said his master's voice firmly.
His master had his back to him. The hound couldn't quite make out his features.
"Oh, yeah. One of those great big Rottweilers, yeah?" said the girl with withering sarcasm.
"No, it's going to be the kind of dog you can have fun with," said his master's voice. "Not a big dog."
The eye in the nettles vanished abruptly downwards.
"But one of those dogs that's brilliantly intelligent and can go down rabbit holes and has one funny ear that always looks inside out. And a proper mongrel, too. A pedigree mongrel."
Unheard by those within, there was a tiny clap of thunder on the lip of the quarry. It might have been caused by the sudden rushing of air into the vacuum caused by a very large dog becoming, for example, a small dog. The tiny popping noise that followed might have been caused by one ear turning itself inside out.
"And I'll call him," said his master's voice. "I'll call him..."
"Yeah?" said the girl. "What are you going to call it?"
The hound waited. This was the moment, the naming. This would give it its purpose, its function, its identity. Its eyes glowed a dull red, even though they were a lot closer to the ground, and it dribbled into the nettles.
"I'll call him Dog," said his master positively. "It saves a lot of trouble, a name like that."
The hellhound paused. Deep in its diabolical canine brain, it knew that something was wrong, but it was nothing if not obedient, and its great sudden love of its master overcame all misgivings. Who was to say what size it should be anyway? It trotted down the slope to meet its destiny. Strange, though. It had always wanted to jump up at people, but now it realised that against all expectation, it wanted to wag its tail at the same time.
"You said it was him," moaned Aziraphale, abstractedly picking the final lump of cream cake from his lapel. He licked his fingers clean.
"It was him," said